Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 10 over the last couple episodes. And that verse reads, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Now, we've been looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about how himself, Silas, and Timothy were actually functioning among this assembly, and how their functioning actually laid out a pattern for these individuals, that once they were saved, this was the end result of what should occur as the doctrine is coming into them. Now, the doctrine can only take root in an individual once they've put their trust in the gospel message for today, in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, a person putting their trust in that and that alone is what gives them their salvation. Now, as we've been looking at this pattern of behavior that the Apostle Paul is making reference to, we've been looking at this idea of justly, and you know, the justly and unblameably is actually where we had left off, of where Paul could say that their behavior was truly seen to be in that, you know, unblameable. When we looked at where we ended, was that the idea that that could not be a reference to the idea of a person actually being quote-unquote perfect, because a person still has a fleshly body that they walk around in, that they, unfortunately, on occasion, give in to the lust of the flesh, and the result of the lust of the flesh is doing the things that are contrary to what God would have us to do. And that's where we looked at how Paul had talked about how all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient, over in the book of 1 Corinthians, because while lawfully it's right for me to do those things, it's not going to be the best thing to always do all of the things that the scriptures say that we should not do. Now, Paul actually addresses the idea of what should happen in the life of a believer. I want to go over to Galatians chapter number 5 as we look here today and look at what Paul says. Now, as Paul was writing to this assembly in Galatia, he was dealing with the idea that these people had heard the doctrine that Paul had taught, and then individuals had come in and started teaching about how people needed to still be under the law system. So these people were trying to be put back under the law to try to perform and to walk right. And you see how Paul, in the beginning of this epistle, really lays out how that's not the case. And then he starts to get into some of the practical things related to this. And when we look at verse number 1 of Galatians 5, we see how Paul states here, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so you see Paul talk about how there's a liberty that we have, and that we're to be standing in this liberty. We're to not be putting ourselves under that system. He says, entangled again in that yoke of bondage, because the law system really is a bondage, with the idea of that here's all the things I can't do, and if I do the wrong thing, if I go contrary to the law, there's going to be a punishment that's going to happen. That's that fear motivation that we've made reference to several times as we've been looking at these things about, and how Paul says we are not given the spirit of fear, because fear cannot motivate an individual during this dispensation. We have liberty. We have the grace of God, which is going to teach us, you know, how to do the right thing. It's going to teach us how to avoid doing the things that we shouldn't do. It's all going to come from that doctrine. But there's a thing, if we mess up, if we, you know, give into that lust of the flesh, it's not a punishment that's going to come for us. It's going to be the fact that we're going to build wood, hay, and stubble. We're going to affect the rewards that we should have because we did the things that are contrary to what the Word of God actually says that we should do. Now, we're here in the book of Galatians. I want to turn back a couple chapters here to chapter number 2, because Paul's also going to talk about how, what actually governs the behavior of the believer. And he's really going to put it into the thing of where all of the focus is actually going to be on here. And I want to read the last two verses of Galatians chapter 2. So we're going to read verses 20 and 21, which say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And you see how Paul, as he's dealing with this topic, with this assembly in Galatia, talks about how the life which we are living, it's not us anymore. It's the Lord Jesus Christ living through us. So when we are doing the right things, when we are doing all the things that are lined up exactly with what the Word of God would say that we are supposed to do, the things that Paul, you know, over in Thessalonians starts talking about how they behaved unblameably, the reason why they were able to behave that way is not because of them, it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ living through them. Because you see how it talks about that, you know, righteousness could not come from the law because Christ would be dead in vain, and it's not him that's doing anything. Because the moment it becomes us, it's going to be a problem, because our righteousness is always going to come short in the eyes of God. The scriptures talk about how our righteousness is filthy rags in the eyes of God. You know, we cannot do the things that would be pleasing God. Paul even talks about how in his flesh, and this is the Apostle Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, talking about himself. If we go over to Philippians chapter number 3, to see this description that Paul gives about himself. Now, Paul's our pattern. Paul's, you know, the individual that has been chosen, the elect, that is, you know, been given the information of this dispensation. So if there's going to be anybody that could be seen to be, you know, in a good standing in the flesh, in the eyes of God, that individual could only be the Apostle Paul during this dispensation. But we're going to see what Paul actually says about himself here. And here in Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, we're going to stop there for a moment. We're going to continue on looking at this passage, but you see how Paul lays out all of these things, you know, and this is all in a discussion about how there was to be no confidence in the flesh, you know, as the chapter starts. And then he starts saying, well, we're going to start talking about this. Let me lay out all of my qualifications in the flesh, because if there was anybody that was going to glory in who they were outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be the Apostle Paul. You know, because he circumcised the eighth day, you know, following exactly what the law had laid out that was supposed to happen. He was of the stock of Israel. You know, he was part of the chosen people of God. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. So he holds up the fact that not only is he part of the nation of Israel, he's part of one of those two tribes that had stayed closest to what God had intended for the nation of Israel to do. And that's when you go back into the books of Kings and Chronicles to look at the division of the kingdom, that you see that there's two tribes that actually stayed, you know, closer, that were actually part of that southern kingdom. And one of those tribes is the tribe of Benjamin. So he's holding that up as, you'll see, I'm not only am I an Israelite, but I'm also of Benjamin, so I'm better than most of the other members of the nation of Israel. And Hebrew of the Hebrews. So now he takes it into the religious life and, you know, how he was doing all the things that were intended according to the law. A Pharisee. You know, so now he's holding that up. Then, you know, the zeal that he had, the persecution that he was doing as part of the zeal. Then he, you know, indicates that he was blameless in the law. Now, this, it's written here in Scripture, so, you know, there's some idea that this is actually true, which means that he would have been performing the sacrificial system in order to be covering up the transgressions that he was making of the law. Now, he was still guilty in God's eyes because of the zeal and the persecution that he was doing, but he holds all this up and saying, well, see, this is who I was. Now we're going to see what Paul says about this here, verse 7 of Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So here's Paul saying, you know what? All of those things, all of these things that I'm holding up and saying I could glory in because of who I am, it's all worthless. It's all dung in the eyes of God, because, you know, it doesn't mean anything because it's all outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that he could be accepted was to be identified in Christ. And to be identified in Christ, he was going to have to give up all of those things to be saved. And he did, so that way he could be part of what God intended for him to be. That's why he could write and talk about what's true of every member of the body of Christ. If we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, to talk about how God actually views us today. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want to read here verse number 21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, as you look at this, and you see how Paul describes this, and you can almost look at this in the way of like a sports trade, of where a, you know, the most one-sided trade that you could ever possibly think of in sports is nothing compared to what was actually exchanged that the Apostle Paul is identifying here. Because he's saying that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin, so that way we would be able to receive his righteousness. That's why the issue of sin has been taken care of. That's why when we talk about from a positional standpoint, this is true of every single member of the body of Christ, that we have his righteousness. When God the Father looks down on every member of the body of Christ, he sees his Son in us. That's why it's his righteousness. That's, you know, why everything keeps going back to him in us. You know, and that's that big contrast between what you see with the members of the body of Christ. You know, the hope is, you know, Christ in us. And you saw what the nation of Israel's hope was when you look over in Matthew chapter number 1, when he's identified at his birth as Emmanuel, which is God with us. You know, and so when we talk about things, you know, related to music and, you know, how music should really be reflective of the doctrine that's for today, you know, the body of Christ really should never sing that hymn, "O Come Emmanuel," because that has nothing to do with what our hope is. We weren't looking for, you know, him to be with us. That's not, has no, you know, hope for us. Our hope, our truth, is all related to the fact that he is in us. That is his righteousness. As the next passage that we're going to look at is going to show, that it's his faith that always becomes the issue. That it's never who we are from that positional standpoint. And our position should always have the impact on how we live our life. Because if we're going to be true to who we are, it always comes back to the position that we have in Christ. Now let's go over to Romans chapter number 4. I made a reference to this of, you know, related to the fact that the next passage was going to deal with some things related to his faith. And here in Romans 4, we're going to see, again, talking about the position that we have. Let's start here in verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 4. It says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Now, as you read through this passage, you start seeing how the Apostle Paul appeals to Abraham, just like you're going to see if we read over in James chapter number 2, that James also appeals to Abraham and uses Abraham as an example. And as we're individuals, we'll see, because they're both saying this, that what's being said in those two passages is actually true, and how James talks about that faith without works is dead, and that you have to have faith plus works. And Paul's saying that it's faith alone here. Well, faith alone and faith plus works is the exact same thing. Well, I can tell you that they're not the same thing, first of all. Second, you know, yes, they are appealing to the same individual, but they're using two different instances in what it is that they were doing to show who they were. James makes a reference to, you know, the offering of Isaac, a work that was being done. So he takes it to a performance system. You see how Paul appeals not to a work. He just appeals to something that happens in Genesis chapter number 15, where it records the fact that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So there was an issue of Abraham only demonstrating his belief. And when he demonstrated his belief, it was counted unto him for righteousness. And as Paul's talking about this and applying this to a member of the body of Christ, he talks about how to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, the question of whose faith is being made a reference to is the most important part of this, because, you know, individuals will try to turn and say, well, see, it's the faith of the individual there. And that's not what Paul's making a reference to. Paul is making a reference to the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ being counted to us for our righteousness, because it always has to go back to his faith, because, you know, his faith is what allows us to have his righteousness. If it's our faith, it's going to start shifting back to our righteousness, and we know that our righteousness is never going to do the right thing from that positional standpoint. Now, our position impacts who we are, and that's why you see Paul make these references to things of how it is that we should be living our life. For example, let's go over to Philippians chapter number 2. This is a verse we've looked at a few times in these studies here. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to read here verse number 15, says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So the members of the body of Christ shine as lights in the world when they apply the doctrine of the grace of God to their lives. When they allow the doctrine that Paul lays out. I want to go over to Titus chapter number 2 here. They're kind of read the instructions that Paul gives here in the book of Titus. And in Titus chapter number 2, let's start at verse number 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And here Paul shows how it's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. So the grace of God teaches us there's things we shouldn't do. It's the grace of God that teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God also tells us here are the things that you as a member of the body of Christ are supposed to do. Now, this is why you see Paul even give the instructions to the members of the assembly in Thessalonica here. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 to see, as he's closing out this epistle, the information he gives them related to their practical walk here. And we're going to read here verses 21 and 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. So here's Paul giving this practical thing of what it is that a member of the body of Christ is supposed to be doing, and they're supposed to be holding fast to that which is good. So they're supposed to be trying to hold and do all the things that would be seen to be good, and they're to be abstaining from all appearance of evil. Now, when you look at that, and you know, sometimes that's an easy thing to do, sometimes it's a hard thing to do, because individuals will really start trying to line up with a thing of, well, this and this and this and this and this and this are all evil. And then they'll have this gigantic list of all of these things that they say are evil, and that no saved person should ever be doing any of those things. And as they start doing this, it starts becoming a performance system that they're trying to put a person under to try to make sure that they abstain from that appearance of evil. And Paul really puts it in that very generic sense because, you know, we have a liberty that, you know, well, you know what, we can do all things. You know, it's not always expedience. You know, he tells us to stand in the liberty. He tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And the idea is that, you know, we have the right to do certain things, but what we do can sometimes be not edifying to other people. If it's not edifying to other people, then we should be really trying to avoid those things, because the things that are not edifying can be seen to be having that appearance of evil. And that's how you see Paul, as he's talking about this behavior that himself, Silas, and Timothy had, that, you know, they had a liberty to do all these things, and they had been instructing them that, you know, since we're not under the law, you can do all these things. But here they were behaving in a manner where they were still doing the things that were abstaining from that appearance of evil. Now, we're going to continue looking at some of these things in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they occur on Sunday mornings. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, any of our messages, or anything you read on our website, feel free to contact us. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.